Rockies in East Memphis wants you to come celebrate the new year with them at 4694 Spotswood Avenue. Food, music, games, drinks, and more. Come on by with your friends or family for some new year fun at a reasonable price. Call 901-310-4436 for hours regarding happy hour and daily specials. Rockies East Memphis, where fun meets family and friends during the week and weekends. That's 901-310-4436. Go Tigers go, and Happy New Year.
I wanted to know why some people who get COVID-19 get it so bad. I found out it may be because they have a high risk factor, such as heart disease, diabetes, being overweight, smoking, and asthma. Even if symptoms feel mild, these factors can increase your risk of COVID-19 turning severe. So if you're at high risk and test positive, there are things you can do, like asking your healthcare provider if an authorized oral treatment is right for you. Learn about an option at treatcovid19.com. This message is sponsored by Pfizer.
Shop limited-time deals at the Truckload event at Lowe's, happening now. Save big on your favorites across the store. During this event, get up to 50% off select tools and accessories. Plus, find the perfect floor tile for your home for less. Get up to 50% off select styles while you can. Head to your local Lowe's store or visit Lowe's.com to shop the Truckload event today. Valid 12/29 through 1/25 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details. Discount taken at time of purchase.
Now, it's Brad Carson and Bennett Doyle, live on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You heard the man, Brad and Bennett, 4 to 6, and a full show today starting at 4:20 with Parth Upadhyay, who joins us from the Daily Memphian. Parth is the Tigers beat writer, relatively new to town, and he wrote a gamer on the Tigers' close win over ECU. So East Carolina game, we'll talk about that. They've got a big one coming up against Central Florida, and just general takes on the Tigers basketball program. They won in front of 11,000 plus this weekend. Round 4:40, Bennett Doyle is in studio. And Bennett, we've got four stories, including just a massive weekend for the NFL. And coming up, it is Super Wild Card Weekend. Are we ready? It sounds like a Titans fan is what
I'm actually really excited about Super Wild Card Weekend.
Who are you rooting for now that the Titans are out?
The Jaguars. I'm kidding. No,
they're good. They're good.
No, I mean, like the rest of the country, I'll probably be rooting for the Buffalo Bills, but because my wife's from Buffalo and is a Bills fan, so she was... You know, everybody's going to be a Bills fan. Everyone is going to be a Bills fan this year, and that's fine. Good for them.
Well, and especially given the circumstances, I think they're certainly, you know, rooting for the Bills for more reasons than one. I actually have a futures bet on them, so I have selfish reasons. But Jeff Calkins grew up in Buffalo and is a huge Bills fan. So not only will we talk about that in four stories, we'll talk about the national championship game. It's firing squad day in the NFL for coaches. So who got fired today? We'll tell you at 4:40 during a four stories, but Jeff will talk to us about the Bills, the Tigers, the Grizzlies. If we get time to it, I might talk about the Consumer Electronics Show. I know this is off topic a little bit, but I'm not a tech geek, but I'm always fascinated by sort of new gizmos and stuff. Like, it took me a while to even adapt the iPhone. My parents just got one of those Ring cameras at their house.
Oh, good.
So, you know, they feel more secure.
I have a Ring.
Do you have a Ring?
Yeah, everybody has a Ring.
I don't want to say too much. We have security systems, including a really, really mean dog at our house. But like we still got some work to do at the household. And I may be the last person who doesn't have some of those things hooked up at my house. Like, should I get that? It's expensive, isn't it?
I'll let you know at 5:30.
All right, so there you go. Hell of a tease there, Bennett.
Also national championship tonight.
It is national championship night tonight, along with the Grizzlies game. But I'm underwhelmed by the game.
Okay, good. We'll talk about that stories too.
So that's kind of the lineup here.
Yeah, I got thoughts as well.
Yeah, again, so Parth from the Daily Memphian, which is easier than saying Parth Upadhyay, but Parth will join us at 4:20. Four stories, Jeff Calkins, possibly get into some consumer electronics news for geeks like me, and then the national championship. We'll rewind. We'll talk about Bennett's big game tonight, presented by our friends at FanDuel. We'll fast forward, and then we're getting out of here. But we will start with the Memphis Grizzlies. You were there last night.
Yep.
Just general thoughts on what looked like a nice win for the Grizzlies, even without Steven Adams and Ja Morant.
Yeah, it was, and it was in a sense, in a revenge game like the Jazz. You know, they played that weird – it's kind of what they're doing with the Spurs this week, where they went to Utah early in the season and played back-to-back games against the Jazz. They just stayed there. They had a night off, so they played them one night and then, you know, day in between, play them another night and lose both of them. And, you know, that was kind of one of the points early on in the year that people were like, whoa, what is happening here? Because the Jazz were supposed to be terrible. And they've come back to earth since then. They're not a great basketball team. But the Grizzlies did get a little bit of revenge on them. And, you know, it just goes back to how important a guy like Tyus Jones is to this team. I mean, when Ja Morant doesn't play, you're not scared about it. He, you know, Ja's your best player. He's your superstar. But every time we find out as Grizzlies fans that Ja's going to, you know, sit for a game and they're playing a team that's, you know, not one of the best teams in the league, you feel fine about it because Tyus, you know, is a great backup point guard, maybe the best backup point guard in the NBA, and he always steps in and produces when Ja's out. So that was good. And then the big thing that stood out last night is Desmond Bane being the leading scorer, you know, 24 points, 9 assists. I think he was 4 of 7 from 3. Like, the shot is back. You know, he said, "I'm back," when he hit the big bucket in Jordan Clarkson's face, which we'll talk about in a second. Yeah. But I think him being the leading scorer was super important just for his confidence, because it's been, you know, a little touch and go coming back from the injury, and he looked really good last night.
It's a perfect time for the Grizzlies right now because you're in cupcake land, so you can afford to let some of these guys rest. And that is something we'll also cover today, because the argument can be made they need to keep resting them when you're playing a back and then a game off and then a back against San Antonio. You got two in a row coming up from San Antonio. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned Tyus Jones. Like, I know Ja's questionable tonight. Steven Adams is questionable tonight. They were both out last night.
I would hold them out tonight.
I think, like, dude, if Ja, you know, is still feeling some discomfort, like, from the hip, like, I got no problem with it. I mean, first off, it's a cool moment for Tyus, as you could have him start against his brother, who's the starting point guard for the San Antonio Spurs. So that would be kind of cool. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you need him tonight. Like, listen, if we need to
rest him, get the guy
fully healthy, let's go ahead and do it.
Now, they go down at the beginning, you're like, maybe we should have started some of these dudes. But it was a 123-118 win, even without those guys. They go for 7 tonight against the Spurs. Bane in that game against Utah, 24-9, 9 assists. Bane looks good, to your point. Tyus Jones, 21. Jaren Jackson, 19-9 plus 5 blocks. I want to talk about somebody that hasn't been talked about a lot today, though, and that is Xavier Tillman, who Jessica Benson talked about last night, and I thought it was really effective. She said, you know, this is a kid, young man, he looks like an old man, honestly, but Xavier Tillman has done everything they've asked of him, whether it's playing the summer league to try to get run last summer again, whether it's playing for the G League squad, whether it's playing the 4 or the 5, you know. And really, when Steven Adams is out and Jackson's playing the 5, you can play him, you know, him and Xavier pretty interchangeably. So I just think they have a lot of options right now. The bench scorers, and that includes, you know, Santee Claus and everybody else, seem to be playing really well right now. Now, all it takes is one as you go for 7 in a row tonight. But I do think that the Grizzlies, they look the part of a team that 538 right now says has a percentage chance to be the NBA champions, top to bottom. So very excited about that. I want to ask you about fisticuffs, though. You mentioned the Jordan Clarkson ejection. Like, what is wrong with this guy?
Okay, so the whole thing was super weird because, and for people that don't know, like, there's a moment in the game last night when Dez is going up. I mean, I guess he's
give me the recap on how it started.
I can't remember exactly where Dez was. I think he was, like, driving toward the basket. Like, he was close to top of the key, and he goes up for a shot, and Jordan Clarkson just, like, smacks him across the head. Like, you cannot say you're going for the ball there. Like, he just smacks him across the head. You know, Dez turns around, and Jaren, like, starts walking towards Clarkson, and Clarkson puts his fist up like he's ready to fight. The refs break it. Everybody breaks it up and everything like that. But the thing that was so weird about it is leading up to that, like, the entire game, you know, in the first half, Jordan Clarkson, he finished with 17 points. He didn't play in the fourth quarter. So he's hitting buckets in the first half. Him and Bane are talking, right? And Dez didn't get hot until later in the game in the second half. And Jordan Clarkson, after every bucket, is chirping at Bane. Like, he literally is going at him the entire first half. And then it's like, as soon as Dez gets hot and starts hitting buckets on him, he throws a fit and smacks him across the head. It was just bizarre because it's like, dude, you're the one talking. Yes. Like, why are you getting upset now that he's hitting some buckets on you and talking back to you? And listen, we know the Grizzlies like to talk. Like, we know they get under other teams' skin. We know Desmond Bane gets under other players' skin. Mm-hmm. So, like, that we've seen him do it to LeBron.
He must be really good at this, like the trash talking.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've seen him do it to LeBron where LeBron gets in his face.
And he's pro.
Yeah, so, like, the Clarkson thing was just weird. And
I love it.
You know, I
so
know,
funny when you're winning, especially.
I know that, like, you know, he's been a guy that Grizzlies fans have talked about, like, hey, maybe we could kick the tires on Jordan Clarkson. Is he a guy that we could we could possibly bring in here around the trade deadline? Because, like, Utah offered Clarkson an extension. He's not going to sign it, so, like, they're going to move him. And so it'll be interesting to see where he winds up. And, like, you know, listen, if he did ever end up with the Grizzlies,
they'd
squash the whole thing, whatever. But
they'd figure it out.
It was just a stupid – he looked like an idiot last night. I mean, I'm just watching that happen, and it's just like, dude, you were the one talking the whole time, and now you're throwing a fit and smacking a guy in the side of the head when he hits a bucket on you. Like, grow up, man. It was just – it was lame, but didn't matter. Grizzlies ended up getting the win anyways, and – that's that. And I think they actually come back here in a couple weeks, but it's
oh boy.
But I believe it's in February. I want to say that they're actually here on trade deadline day. The Jazz are. And so he might not even be on the team by the time they come back here. So that'll be something to keep an eye on.
Okay, so for tonight, the Grizzlies play here on 92.9 FM ESPN. The pregame's at 6:30 with Jessica Benson. She's going to be at the Forum. The tip is at 7:00 with Eric Hasseltine. San Antonio 13-27. This is a team that is tanking big time. I mean, it just seems like that they're in the running for the freak that's like 7 feet 6 tall.
Victor Wembanyama.
They're in the sweepstakes along with that team Charlotte we saw last week. And then the Grizzlies, of course, now 26-13. They're a 12-point favorite tonight. This should be light work. On the predictor, ESPN has them as an 82%, you know, win for Memphis. So this should be light work tonight.
Yeah.
Do you rest dudes? Who do you rest and do you rest?
Okay, so I would go back to, like, if Ja is still feeling discomfort, I got no problem with resting him tonight.
Yeah.
You know, Steven Adams is dealing with an illness, a non-COVID illness, so we'll just, I mean, that's
I'd
just,
let him take another one off.
Yeah, so we'll see there. Mm-hmm. You know, Ja's going to play. If he's, you know, capable and they're going to let him give him the option, he's going to play. So we'll see there. But I don't think you need him. I will say, though, they're still coached by Greg Popovich, a Hall of Fame head coach.
Okay.
Like again, their roster is very flawed, the Spurs are, but they are coached by a Hall of Famer who is probably the best game planner in the league. So I'm just throwing that out there. Like, you've got to find a way to motivate yourself. It's a Monday night at home. Like, I would think they're going to have a good crowd tonight because they always have good crowds now, the Grizzlies do, but the national championship's on tonight. Like, it might be a little bit lighter because people want to be able to watch the national championship and they'll have the Grizzlies on their other TV. So it's just one of those games that you've got to find your motivation if you're the Grizzlies, because it'd be really easy to walk out there and be like, this is going to be a cakewalk, right?
Something we haven't talked about at all today is how popular, and I know this is an obvious thing, but to some fans like me who you don't pay to go to every game, these games are well attended now. Like, it's a hot ticket, and it doesn't matter if you're playing the San Antonio Spurs against the national championship tonight, or if you're playing them Wednesday on a church night for a lot of folks, or if you're playing next Monday against the Suns on the MLK special on national TV at 5 o'clock, or the Utah Jazz this weekend. I think people obviously know it when you look at the secondary market, but, like, last night's game was near rafters capacity, right? Like,
they had a big crowd.
ESPN listed as 17-8, you know, and if that place holds 18-plus, like, people are going to these games now, and it's the jaw thing. But it does seem like people are even willing to go just see the team play. I'm not saying they should, but man, they're having a windfall for exciting basketball.
Well, it's also that's right. Like, it's also just exciting basketball. Like, Ja doesn't play last night, right? And I'm sure that, like, most of the people that bought their tickets didn't know when they bought them that Ja wasn't going to play, right? But, you know, that you give a little credit to Taylor Jenkins here, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the brand of basketball that they're playing, because as much as we love our grit and grind Grizzlies and, like, what they meant to this city, that was not
was
a beautiful
boring.
Brand of basketball. No. And, you know, not having a star, like, with that,
100%
that's, you
correct.
Know, that's just one of the, that is what it is. Right. But I think the brand of basketball is just fun. Like, it was fun last night. Like,
I agree.
It was just a fun game.
It was a fun watch, too. So, Grizzlies tonight against the Spurs on 92.9. They get this game. They get Wednesday's night against the Spurs. Then they travel on Saturday to go play the Spurs. Spurs is probably going to be the hardest game of the week for them. Pacers. Pacers Saturday after the Spurs. Pacers are a good team.
That's been a tough place for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and going to Indy has been tough. So we'll see what they do there. And then you get the Suns game, which will be they're not doing well right now. They're 20-21. That's a week from today on that MLK day at 5 o'clock on TNT and on 92.9.
They've lost like a million in a row, and one of the wins in between was actually against the Grizzlies.
Oh, man.
So
they wanted to get our ass because of that big blowout before the Christmas game. So
yeah, they've lost 1, 2, 3.
They're 20-21 right now.
8, 9, 10.
Suns are not good right now.
They've lost.
And a lot of that's mostly Booker.
They've lost 9 of their last 10. The one win was against the Grizzlies.
Most of that is Booker being out. I recognize that. But still, like, the one cool thing if you're the Grizzlies is it doesn't matter if Ja plays or not or if Bane plays or not. They've figured out how to do this, unlike what the Suns are experiencing. We'll talk more about it coming up with Jeff in the 5 o'clock hour at 5 o'clock, Jeff Calkins. But over the weekend, the Memphis Tigers pulled out a win against East Carolina. Our friend Parth from the Daily Memphian was there. He'll talk to us about it next. You're listening to Brad and Bennett on 92.9 FM ESPN.
NFL Wildcard Weekend is here, and the easiest way to get into the playoffs is with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers, join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. And with Wild Card Weekend coming up, the playoffs are just so much more fun when you're playing on FanDuel. You don't have to be a betting pro to join in. I mean, you can literally just go to the different games, pick some players you like, pick out their anytime touchdowns, combine that in a parlay. There you go for the weekend. And it's all on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Roddy gonna lob for Morant.
Tonight, the Memphis Grizzlies go for 7 in a row against the San Antonio Spurs. We'll have the pregame at 6:30 with Jessica Benson, the tip at 7 o'clock with Eric Hasseltine. Spurs Grizzlies on 92.9.
92.9 FM ESPN is Memphis's Grizzlies station.
When disaster strikes, do you know who to call? I do. It's ServiceMaster by Cornerstone. It's the largest franchise in a 600-mile radius. But don't just call them because they're the largest. Call them because they're the best, the absolute best at solving problems after a disaster. I hope you never deal with a disaster. You know, something like water damage due to a busted water heater or frozen pipes or a toilet that overflows. I don't want you to ever have to deal with fire damage or smoke damage, mold, or damage caused by some storm, straight line winds. But if you ever encounter any of these issues, please make sure to call ServiceMaster by Cornerstone. The motto is, we don't pray for disasters, we just pray we get called when there is one. So remember the name. It's locally owned, locally operated. It's ServiceMaster by Cornerstone. 901-624-9200 is the number. 624-9200. They're available 24/7. It's ServiceMaster by Cornerstone on the web, smcornerstone.com.
If you didn't get exactly what you wanted for Christmas, or even if you did get that perfect gift, which of course is a gift card from James Davis, it's time to get over to the Laurelwood Shopping Center and enhance your look. This is Gary Parrish reminding you that one of the best clothing stores in America is right here in Memphis. It's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center. James Davis is where I get all of my suits and shirts for television work with CBS Sports, and it's where you need to be shopping as well, especially now because James Davis has started the fall winter clearance sale early. 20% to 50% off all fall merchandise, sports shirts, sweaters, jackets, pants, everything priced to move. And I know you've heard me talk about the Stant custom fit dress shirts before, but it's worth repeating. You get 3 measurements taken at James Davis. 10 minutes later, you've got a custom fit shirt ordered. It'll be ready in 9 days. Starts at just $138. Trust me, once you get a custom fit Stant shirt, you'll never buy off the rack again. One thing I learned a while ago, ago is that the best way to get what you want is just give it to yourself. You deserve nice clothes. Go get them. James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavismemphis.com.
Big Memphis! Join John, Jared, Dez, and your Grizzlies tonight at 7 p.m. as they take on the San Antonio Spurs. Get ready for a Southwest Divisional matchup and get your tickets today by calling 901-888-HOOP or by visiting grizzlies.com.
Dazzling diamonds, royal rubies, elegant emeralds, and stunning sapphires. Now's the time to discover an exquisite variety of radiant, prize-winning jewels that are set to take your breath away. This gorgeous, one-of-a-kind display won't be found at the finest jewelry stores, but rather at your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer with Jumbo Bucks Jewels Instant Games. Collect glistening top prizes of up to $300,000 and make every win sparkle. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Struggling to land a tech job even though you have a degree in the field? Maybe you're already working in IT but feeling stuck? Many employers value IT candidates who hold certifications because they're more knowledgeable, confident, and reliable. Cybersecurity Institute at Lab 4 can help give you a competitive edge. As an accredited nonprofit training provider with over 15 years of experience, Cybersecurity Institute at Lab 4 offers hands-on certification training with a focus on building your tech career. Call today at 901-261-1111. That's 901-261-1111.
If you own a business, this has been a bumpy ride. From pandemic to inflation, I'm sure you could use a break. If your business has five or more employees and survived COVID, you might be eligible to receive a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee. The challenge is getting your hands on it. Hi, I'm Howard Mackler, and that's why I founded GetRefunds.com to cut through the red tape and get you the money. The team of tax attorneys we have put together are highly trained in this little-known payroll tax refund program. We do all the work, charge not a dime up front, and simply share a percentage of the cash that we get for you. Businesses of all types can qualify, including those that took PPP, nonprofits, and even those that had increases in sales. We have helped return over $1 billion to businesses, and we can help you too. Just go to getrefunds.com/sports, click on Qualify Me, and answer a few questions. This payroll tax refund is only available for a limited period of time. Don't lose out on up to $26,000 per employee. Go to getrefunds.com/sports. That's getrefunds.com/sports.
I used to get frequent heartburn at night, so I made Prilosec OTC part of my morning routine.
One pill in the morning, 24 hours, zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC.
It's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
Weather brought to you by Total Wine & More. At Total Wine & More, save big on what you love this month with hundreds of deals on amazing wines and spirits. Love what you find at the lowest prices only at Total Wine & More. Drink responsibly. B21.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. Back to Brad and Bennett on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Parth Upadhyay covers the Memphis Tigers men's basketball team. He is originally from North Carolina. I just learned he is a North Carolina guy. He graduated from UNC Chapel Hill. Done some covering in Pennsylvania. You got the Penn State gig before you got the Memphis Tigers gig. Welcome to town, Parth. I know you've been on before with us, but the first time here on the afternoon show. How is it going? How you doing?
It's going great, man. And we talked about this off the air, but I've been in town since September 1st, and been loving every minute of it. Reminds me of home, actually, with the kind of crazy basketball
right
fandom here.
Southern hospitality a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
Nice people.
Absolutely.
Good. I'm glad we're so far so good. So the town's treating you well is what you're telling us.
Fantastic.
Yep. So first, let's go past the – well, we can talk about the town all you want to, but the town's basketball team is a big deal. Has it surprised you what it means to the city in terms of – whoa, I had no idea. Or what were your impressions doing this thing now for 3 months?
No, absolutely. Like, you know, you hear of it before you get here, and you know they've been to Final Fours, right?
Yep.
Like that 07-08 team nearly won a national title. But, you know, the way I thought of it was, you know, the Grizzlies are here. Ja Morant is here. This is an NBA town. And you get here, and it's a close race, man.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is a Tigers' first town.
Mm-hmm.
Ja Morant is closing that gap, but it's just surprising to see.
Well, I would be careful if I were you. I don't necessarily agree with that anymore. And Bennett, you can. This is we've had this argument on the air.
I think it is definitely flipped.
I think it's flipped too.
But there's a lot of love for the Tigers. There's no doubt about it.
I think
you look at attendance now. The Grizzlies are just selling out every game.
Well, how wide do you think that margin is?
I think it's wider than it's ever been. What do you think, Bennett?
Yeah. I mean, I just, like, we just talked about in the opening segment, like, the attendance, like, with the Grizzlies, and it's, again, like, they're they're almost selling out every game. Like, they're going to have a big crowd tonight on a Monday night against a bad Spurs team. You know?
Let's look at the weekend, for example. All right? On Saturday, you were at a conference game, and regardless if it was ECU or Ole Miss, like, if it were Ole Miss, I'll concede this. You would have had 15,000 there, probably.
For sure, right.
I don't know if it would have sold out. I don't think you would have had the crowd the Grizzlies had on Sunday.
I want to say the Ole Miss game wasn't sold out, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm messing that one up.
No.
Didn't look sold out.
I was at that one. It was a good crowd. It was a really good crowd.
It was a good crowd. Yeah. Better than what we saw this weekend is my point. So I'm conceding that example. This weekend they had 11,300 at the ECU game, and then Sunday, and Ben and I were just talking about this, and I'll be honest with you, we talk about this a lot because when you have two that are kind of the two pro teams, it's inevitable, especially if you're playing in the same arena and one of them's a college team and one of them is your hometown pro team. I'm not trying to dismiss your argument that the Tigers are a big deal.
No,
I think
for sure
the brand is a big deal, but I think, and I'll be interested in asking you about Mikey, because Mikey's coming in next year, and there's going to be some marquee players. The NIL thing will ramp up again next year. Where do you see that going?
Yeah, I think obviously just the name recognition, right, of Mikey Williams. He's not a top five. He's not a top 10 guy in the class, but just his celebrity,
right?
Just his lore. I think that's going to bring people not only in the city to FedEx Forum, but also folks who are just huge hoops fans in Arkansas and Mississippi and want to see the spectacle that is Mikey Williams and J.J. Taylor.
So let's go to the game, Parth. Parth is here with us from the Daily Memphian. Memphis was down at the half by 8 points, and the whole city was freaking out at that point watching East Carolina just roll up on Memphis in the first half. It was 33-25. You know, defense was holding their own, but the scoring was an issue, and it was one of those games where, you know, Kendrick Davis came out and he wasn't his normal self. So just kind of take us through that and what you saw in the game against East Carolina.
Yeah, I think it was concerning, and more so than any stat, I think, was just the look of it, right? Like, you look at the body language of the players, you take a peek at the bench, and guys just seem disengaged. And Penny spoke a lot about that after the game. He spoke a lot about it, you know, quite frankly, before the game on Friday, just about how cohesion and chemistry is yet again an issue. And I think if you're a Tigers fan, that's got to be the most alarming thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. What was the main selling point of this team? Hey, there's not a lot of talent outside of Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, but these guys are on a unified mission.
That's right.
Coming from the respective programs, and now you're seeing a little bit more of a rift in that roster.
So you mentioned Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams, and, like, this team's going to go as those guys go, right? Like, they're it's always them two as the top two scorers every game, it seems like. If there was going to be another guy this season that kind of emerges as that third guy from a scoring perspective for them, who would it be? Or is it just going to be a rotating number of guys throughout the rest of the season? Like, do you think somebody can emerge as, like, that third scoring option for the Tigers this season outside of Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams?
Well, I think that's also an issue, right? Like, we thought that was DeMarre Franklin. I think Penny thought that was DeMarre Franklin. And we saw glimpses of that when he was ruled eligible against Alabama and then the following game against Texas A&M.
Right.
And his minutes have declined, right? Like, his minutes have declined the past three games. He hasn't been playing a whole lot. This is kind of a jumbled mix, I'd say, after Kendrick and DeAndre. And, you know, I'm not Penny. He knows a lot more about basketball than I do, certainly. But I think that's kind of what causes some of the chemistry issues, not having a consistent pecking order after the top two guys. You know, guys are being subbed in and out kind of sporadically. Minutes are not consistent game by game. They need a third guy to emerge. And right now, their third leading scorer is Alex Lomax. You know, A-Lo, one of the best on-ball defenders in the country. But if that's the guy that's your third scoring punch, that's an issue.
Well, and I think on this station, we've taken plenty of cracks at Alex because he's not a prolific scorer. I mean, he's just not. He's not a scorer.
That's not his game, no.
But he's a starter on this team, and he probably should be a starter on this team given what they've shown so far.
No doubt.
I'll ask you about DeMarre Franklin. Why has that not clicked yet? Because if you would have asked any Tigers fan at the beginning of the season, you said, well, DeMarre Franklin, once he's eligible, like, he averaged like 15 points at UIC. I recognize it's UIC. He actually added more than that. Like, what is the disconnect when these players, and this is not the first time this has happened, by the way, where we go, hey, this is the guy that once you pair him with XYZ and you bring him in, then that's going to put him over the top. But there's more to it than that with the chemistry issues.
Yeah, I'm not sure. quite frankly. I asked Penny about it on Friday during the pre-ECU presser, and he kind of gave a, you know, a generic coach speak answer that, hey, DeMarre is still kind of working his way back. But the thing is, we saw, like, an Alabama game, right? Like, they're playing number four Alabama in Tuscaloosa on the road, and the guy started off slow, but he ended up with 8.6 boards and was almost the reason they pushed that thing to overtime. So I don't understand how a guy working his way back can be an issue when, you know, just what, less than a month ago, he seemed to be their third best guy.
Mm-hmm. Starting lineup was Kendrick Davis, Alex Lomax, DeAndre Williams, Chandler Lawson, and Elijah McCadden. Elijah's had spurts where he's good. Chandler Lawson has looked the part, and he, you know, he redshirted last year. DeAndre Williams is clearly one of the doers on this team, and Kendrick Davis and Alex Lomax is. Is that the right starting five that they had?
You know, I think so. Given what we know now and what we've seen the past three games, I do think that eventually you've got to work DeMarre Franklin into that starting lineup and maybe, you know, use Elijah McCadden in a sixth man type role. I think another thing that we've seen a lot less of is Keontae Kennedy, right, being that third or fourth scoring punch. And you've got to wonder why that is. You know, they've put more guys into the mix. You know, Jonathan Lawson's playing more minutes. KO is playing more minutes.
I didn't even think about KO. We haven't talked about him yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that's reading between the lines, that's what Penny's saying is the issue. Obviously not KO or Jonathan Lawson, but just the influx of guys he's tried to add into that mix, which obviously dilutes everybody's minutes. Mm-hmm.
So they've been playing small, obviously, with Malko not being on the floor and being injured. I'll ask you about Malko first. What are you expecting on timeline on that?
Yeah, it's confusing because Penny initially, when he went down against Alabama, said, hey, he's not going to be back in the non-conference, but we expect him back by, you know, conference play, by USF.
We said, 2 to 3 weeks it was, and I think we've extended that now.
I believe we have extended that because the Bama game was December 13th. Mm-hmm. We're now at, it's January 9th?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that timeline's been pushed back. He was asked about it after this past game against ECU, and he said, hey, at least another week. So that kind of, you know, I'm not saying he's done for the season. I don't.
Right.
This is not me speculating or reporting, but it's got to give you pause, right? As a fan,
a little bit.
When there's a timetable set, and then it gets pushed back and pushed back and pushed back, and man, quite frankly, they need the guy on the floor.
Yeah. They're 2-1 in conference play. The lone conference loss at Tulane, and you know, three of the next four on the road. At UCF, at Temple, then they got Wichita State at home, then at Cincinnati. As far as the next two at UCF, at Temple, like UCF's 12-4, like they appear to be a pretty good team in this conference. I mean, they're second in the conference right now. I said before conference play started that this used to be a scenario where, you know, if you lose a couple bad conference games, you're just screwed as far as, you know, getting an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. You're going to have to go and, like, win your conference to get in. I think that's a little, like, different, you know, with how the AAC has gone over the past couple of years. Like, I don't think at Tulane is going to hurt them in the grand scheme of things. But you look at these next two, at UCF, at Temple. We just said UCF's a pretty good team. Temple is not bad. I mean, they're ahead of you in the standings. Don't you think that they have to at least split those two over these next two to still be hopeful to be kind of an at-large team going forward as far as NCAA tournament talk goes?
Yeah, maybe I'm being a little bit...
You can't lose both of them, right?
Definitely can't lose both of them. And I think, in my opinion, maybe I'm being dramatic, but I think they're both must-wins. Yeah, the AAC is better than we thought. You know, Tulane's been playing better. Cincinnati is 100th in the net rankings right now, but as far as real solid quality wins,
Cincinnati's not good.
Cincinnati's not good, but they're not horrible, right?
Right. Like they're a team that could beat you, is what you're telling me.
Exactly. On the road, like that could be a game that
feels Tulane-y. Feels a little like Tulane.
Well, and
exactly.
You got Landers there. Like he's gonna want to. Oh, he's gonna
know.
Have a big
I forgot
game
about
against
that.
The Tigers. Yeah.
Landers Nolly, who was here last year, Parth.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And if you look at like. Oof. Some of the teams they've played, Arizona tough early in the season. They played, they lost to Houston by, I think, 13 yesterday, but that game was close.
And this is a topic of conversation that it's important to talk about because every year we roll into conference play, and I swear every year it's the same conversation. We'll just roll through conference. And it's like, it's not that easy, and at least the way the American is, to Bennett's point, and we talked about this off the air because I put it all on the stat sheet here. KenPom ranked now, Memphis is 36, UCF's 37, all right? And they beat SMU 85-53, just hammered SMU. Now, SMU's not good. But They won. They beat Ole Miss by 10. Oklahoma State they beat in overtime. That's a good win.
Right.
They beat Florida State. They had a really close loss and took Houston to the edge. Right. And then Miami and Mizzou, they had really good games. Missouri's a really good team, by the way. So, like, that Missouri loss is awesome for them. They took them, too. So, like, my point is, we got an issue here in this UCF game coming up.
No doubt. This is a team that can get an at-large bid in the tournament,
yeah,
right?
Like, they're right with you, yeah.
Like, we were saying the AAC is a two-bid team. And
I think it might be three if we can hang in there.
It might be
right?
three. I think UCF right now is better than Memphis.
Yeah, I think they are, too. I mean, especially if we don't have, you know, if we're banged up, you know, if these guys aren't playing, Malco's not playing and you're playing small, you can't figure out. I mean, the other thing that and we're talking to Parth from the Daily Memphian, and he's the Tigers beat writer. I did notice that the rotation minutes are bloating already. In other words, we were sort of in that eight and now we're up to nine and it sounds like it could go larger once everybody gets healthy. But you had nine players playing 13 minutes in the game. I'll ask you, what do you think of that? Is that the way they should play, or should they say tighten it up? Should it go to eight? Should you play more bodies if you're Penny?
Yeah, I don't think the issue is the numbers, right? Like, you can play nine guys. Right. I think the issue is the distribution of the minutes.
Okay.
You know, like, you've got to have a core seven. Obviously, you're starting five, then two guys off the bench that you're primarily relying on for, you know, whatever they may contribute. And right now, they just don't have those guys that are separating themselves mm-hmm. from the pack when it comes to the bench. And you saw, like, in the ECU game,
right.
in the first 6 minutes, nine different players played. In the first 6 minutes, that's absurd.
It's a little excessive.
A bit, yeah, no doubt.
Right, yeah. Bennett, you got one more for Parth?
No, I mean, I was going to say, back to the Kendrick Davis discussion, do you think that he has a chance to go pro, to play in the NBA? Because it's been talked about a little bit recently. He's a small guard. But he obviously is the leading scorer for this team. He's one of the best players in college basketball. Do you think he could possibly get on an NBA roster next season?
Yeah, I think obviously him getting drafted is probably a long shot just because he's a 6 foot even scoring guard.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, we've seen it before with a local guy in Chris Chioza who's actually had a nice, you know, NBA career, a guy that's, you know, been on multiple NBA teams and was able to stay in the league for a little bit. So, It's interesting because I hear people talking about it now, and I know he's undersized, but he's just such a good scorer, man.
Yeah, and I think, you know, even if he doesn't get drafted in the second round, which seems like he won't right now just based on mock drafts and projections, I think some team's gonna look at him and say, hey, this guy can contribute in some way. He's got a high basketball IQ. He, you know, he's shifty. He gets buckets. And I think some team's gonna take a flyer on him, and he can work his way from, you know, the G League potentially onto a roster.
Parth Upadhyaya is our guest here, and appreciate you coming in, man. You got your hands full here with UCF. That game at 6 o'clock tomorrow, Memphis-UCF. Look forward to reading your stuff in the Daily Memphian, brother. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, appreciate y'all.
Thanks, Parth. Yep.
Live in the flesh, it's Parth from the Daily Memphian. We get four stories next, including Bennett. It was a rough, rough weekend for you Titans fans. I'm not going to lie. I was thinking of you while I was watching the Jacksonville game. It appears Jacksonville's a good football team. We'll talk about that first. Also, super wild card weekend, firing day in the NFL, and we gear up for the TCU-Georgia game next on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you about Danny Morrison Roofing Professionals. They're a local, family-owned and operated business serving the Mid-South's residential and commercial roofing needs since 2010. It's the home of the free roof. You really can get a new roof with no cost to you. Most roofing jobs, they can be done in one day, so this isn't some lengthy process. Just call Danny at 901-870-0186. It's Danny Morrison Roofing, a proud supporter of the University of Memphis Athletic Department. Danny Morrison Roofing, 901-870-0186. This is Gary Parrish, and you've heard me talk about Dr. Mehdi Sadeghi and his staff for years now. They run the Smile Center. It's where my whole family goes. We're fortunate. Our insurance covers it. But Dr. Mehdi understands not everybody is fortunate enough to have dental insurance, and that's why he's created the membership plan at the Smile Center. It's an in-office insurance plan for patients who do not have dental insurance. So if you fall under that umbrella, please get in touch with the Smile Center. Dr. Mehdi and his entire staff have been vaccinated, so it's a safe environment. The address is 1941 South Germantown Road in Germantown near Saddle Creek, 901-309-1333, online, smilecentermemphis.com.
Custom picture framing means one-of-a-kind gifts at Frame Corner. Bring us your wedding photos, diplomas, or collectibles, and let our expert designers help get that perfect look for your special someone. And for that wow factor, ask about our LED shadow box frames. Perfect for jerseys. Frame Corner, now framing for the holidays. Frame Corner. We frame for Memphis. We frame for you. Located at 5035 Park Avenue or visit online at framecornermemphis.com.
Add this to your New Year's resolutions. Win money in 2023 with Superbook Sports. Superbook has over three decades of sports wagering experience in Las Vegas, so you'll get the best odds anywhere as we head into the football playoffs. Plus, check out their special odds boosts and promotions at superbook.com. Make 2023 the year when you win money from Vegas. Download the Superbook Sports app now and place your bets. Visit superbook.com for terms, conditions, gambling problem. Call 1-800-889-9789.
For nearly 18 years, we've been delivering brand new vehicles right there in the Memphis market. And now we're excited to announce that Red River has a Toyota store right here in Wynn, just a short hop across the river to get the best deal on a new Toyota than anywhere else in your state or our state. Or we can bring it right to Memphis and drop it off in your driveway. You can order yours online right now at redrivertoyota.com and we'll bring it to you. So check us out at redrivertoyota.com or come see us in Wynn.
At Kroger, no matter where you order free pickup, you get the same great deals as you'd get in store. So you can save when you order during band practice or at the dog park or wherever. Start your cart with the Kroger app and save from wherever today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. $35 order minimum. Restrictions may apply. Subject to availability.
Right now, fresh Kroger 80% lean ground beef is a great deal at only $3.99 a pound with your card. Sold in the 3-pound roll. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Life is fast and furious. Sometimes you need a boost. The Shot Nurse can help with Lipo B12 injections. Increase energy, improve mood and sleep. It even helps with allergies. Or boost your immune system with our Tri-Immune Booster, packed with vitamin C and zinc. It gives your body a head start at fighting off illness. With three locations throughout the Mid-South, we can get you in and out quickly. The Shot Nurse is your wise choice.
Protection you need with a personal touch. The Shot Nurse.
Drop everything, even your New Year's resolution, and hurry to the Xfinity Hello 2023 sale. New Xfinity customers can get 75 megabit internet for just $20 a month for 1 year with no annual contract. And when you add Xfinity Mobile, you can get the best price for two lines of unlimited. Plus, for a limited time, get $500 back with two new mobile lines. You've got all year to pick up a new hobby, but this offer won't last forever. So drop the kale smoothie and make savings your New Year's resolution. Drop everything and get to the Xfinity Hello 2023 sale, now through January 10th. To learn more, go to Xfinity.com/Hello2023, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Internet offer requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Equipment taxes and fees extra. After term, regular rates apply. Xfinity Internet required for Xfinity Mobile. Compares Xfinity Unlimited Intro to lowest price 5G plans of top three carriers. Reduced speeds after 20 gigabytes of usage per line. Data thresholds may vary.
As Tennesseans, we all see and appreciate the abundant wildlife around us and the great fishing opportunities we have across our state. Thanks to your Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. I'm Don King, reminding you that none of this would have been possible without the support of hunters and anglers who have purchased licenses and paid the bills over the years. Don't forget to purchase your license this year. It's a great investment in Tennessee's wildlife future.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline, live from the Service Master by Cornerstone Studios. Back to Brad and Bennett on 92.9 FM ESPN.
We have a bunch of stuff ahead, including the national championship game, TCU and Georgia, we're going to talk about. Jeff Calkins joins us at 5 o'clock to talk about that, the Bills, the NFL weekend. I'm going to ask him if he has three nipples because, of the, you know, people are railing on the Bills that there's this three connection, you know, like that they clinched it at 333 and, you know, they had those three losses back in the 90s. And then Jeff said on air that he doesn't have three nipples. I don't know if he was joking or not because I think I've heard rumors that he does have three nipples. The nipple question comes your way at 5 o'clock. Plus, tonight it is the Grizzlies game. Hopefully another dub. Could be their seventh in a row. Pre-game at 6:30 on 92.9 with Jessica Benson. And we will have the tip live here with Eric at 7 o'clock. But right now we have four stories.
Now, it's four stories. Four stories. Story number one.
Yeah, we've waited this long.
Oh, time to pay the piper, Bennett Doyle.
So, the Tennessee Titans lost the Jags on Saturday night, 2016. They are eliminated from the playoffs. The Jaguars are the AFC South champions.
Condolences.
Seventh straight loss for the Titans. Like, I had so many people texting me on Saturday night. And the thing is like, I saw this outcome coming from a mile away. But I was off of the Titans to start the season. Have you been listening to this time slot?
Oh, Bennett, don't do that.
Are you serious?
You were off the bus at the beginning of the season. I don't remember that.
Dude, ever since they traded A.J. Brown in the offseason,
I
if you've listened to this show once, you know that I've been off of this team all year long. even when they started off, playing pretty good, I was like, yeah, just wait, it'll come.
No, they were good at the beginning of the season.
No, they've lost seven straight to finish out the season.
Seven of ten after six straight wins.
In this game, I knew it was going to go exactly the way that it went. They were going to be competitive, and then they were going to rip my heart out at the end of the game.
That's
exactly what happened. Josh Dobbs, two huge turnovers, including a fumble recovered for a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. That gave the Jags the lead. Titans never came back from that. I just thought that when the Titans were kicking field goals at the end of the first half and to start the second half, I was like, nope, got to score touchdowns. This is what they do. They get in field goal range. They can't score in the red zone, and they end up letting teams back in the game because of that. And it just is what it is. Like, the defense has to stay on the field for too long. They get tired. The Jags sold out to stop Derrick Henry. He had over 100 yards rushing, but, like, he wasn't. I know he had over 100 yards rushing. It was not a Derrick Henry performance by any means.
They were keying on him early, though. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and, he couldn't do anything. And you can't put this on Josh Dobbs either. Like, he's been there for 2 weeks. I mean, the turnovers were egregious. Like,
I'll give him an A. I'll tell you, though, I will give him an A, considering he hasn't even found an apartment in Nashville.
No, I mean, listen, the turnovers were terrible, but he's been with the team for 2 weeks. The Titans, the thing is it's hard to put blame on one person because the blame, a lot of it goes on the general manager who they fired during the middle of the season. Right, so, like, they've already kind of taken care of one of their big problems.
Yeah.
The roster is just super flawed. They do not have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. And so, as far as the offseason goes for the Titans, like, I think first things first is everyone's waiting to see as far as personnel decisions. Are they going to fire their offensive coordinator? Because they have, I believe they're the worst offense in the league, if not one of the worst.
Why has Todd Downing not been fired today?
I don't know.
That means they're holding on to him.
I think he's got some dirt on them.
Dude, like, they're not going to fire Todd Downing if he hasn't. I'm missing something.
The thing is the fan base is just calling for this. It's going to happen. I really do think it's going to happen at some point. He's clearly been Mike Vrabel's guy for a while now, so, like, maybe they're just, maybe it's going to be one of those things where
bring the new GM in and then you get through that.
Yeah. Like, he part ways or something like that. Because today is, like, the firing
day. Okay, breaking news. Todd Downing has been fired.
Has he?
Yes.
Okay, we've been on this the air, so I haven't.
No. Todd Downing is gone.
Are you sure about that?
No. Here it is. And it's from, hold on, let me check, because Twitter's wacko.
Oh, God, it happened like
40 minutes ago. Ian Rappaport.
Okay,
Ian Rappaport, here it is. They have fired Todd Downing!
Okay, so good news. That's
Todd Downing is no longer your offensive coordinator, Bennett Doyle. We've gotten an update.
So there
you go. That's good news.
There's another positive development.
Yeah.
But they've also got a lot of decisions to make as far as contracts go with some of their big-name players, like Derrick Henry. He signed a 4-year, $50 million contract back in 2020, but he's got no more guaranteed money left on the deal, slated to be a free agent following 2023. So we'll see. I think that they'll extend Derrick Henry. I do think that he will be back on the roster next season. I mean, the dude is your offense. So, like, how can that would be really, really turning things over in the offseason.
Yep.
I mean, that is an absolute rebuild to let that guy walk. So we'll see what happens there. They got to make a decision at quarterback, obviously, with Tannehill, and then they got to make a decision on their best defensive player in Jeffrey Simmons. I personally think that all three are going to be back. Just seeing what Titans people that cover the team have said today, I think that it's likely that all three of those guys are probably going to be back on short deals, or maybe not Jeff Simmons, but Tannehill and Henry are going to be back on short deals next season. But I would definitely be kicking tires on quarterback if I'm the Titans.
Yep.
Like, you have nothing behind Tannehill. He is injury prone, as we've seen the past two seasons. So I would be kicking tires on quarterback if I'm the Titans. They're going to have a – I think they pick 11th in this draft. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they do there. But it's clearly not worked with Malik Willis. So I'll see what's up with Aaron. I would like to see what's up with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. What are they going to do?
We've already gotten good news here on Todd Downing. So part of your problem is over, Bennett. That's good news. Second thing is you're going to get a new GM, which is good news too, because you're right. John Robinson was not the answer. The Taylor Lewan and Bud Dupree situation is a real bad deal because they have health problems, and it doesn't seem like there's any end in sight for those contracts.
Those guys going to be back.
So they're probably gone, which leaves us with the quarterback. Josh Dobbs looked serviceable. I think he's not your starter, though. He's a backup. Obviously, Tannehill is there. Malik is got to be gone. Like, maybe, like, not even on the roster gone.
They just drafted him.
I know he was a third rounder, but
I think he will be on the roster, but he is like that.
He's not good.
He's not good, right?
He's not NFL caliber quarterback.
I'd be willing to give it time, but I would be worried coming into the season next year if Tannehill's your starter and he's your backup. I'd be super worried.
Yeah, what I think they'll do, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I think you're right. You said this off the air, and it's exactly, you don't draft a quarterback in the first round because you got Tannehill sitting there, but you probably do in the third round or the whatever round they're at after that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, and I know that a lot of people would disagree with this. I would like to see what's up with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady this offseason. So
wow. And then you do have the Aaron Rodgers rumors all the time about Nashville and this house in Franklin.
I think he's got a house in Franklin.
Dear God, if I hear that again.
I don't know if that matters, but like I'd like to kick the tires on those guys.
Story number two.
All right, it is Super Wild Card Weekend, Bennett.
Yep, Super Wild Card Weekend. We did have some interesting outcomes yesterday. I mean, it culminated with Detroit beating Green Bay to eliminate them from the playoffs. I think... we all saw Aaron Rodgers walking off the field last night. Like that, that looked like a dude that's not playing there next season. Now, he is dramatic, so could have just been being dramatic, but...
Let me stop you on Aaron Rodgers. To me, that was my favorite game of the weekend because there was nothing more satisfying than seeing Seattle sitting there rooting against Aaron Rodgers and Detroit giving no two S's about it and beating them on their field at Lambeau and seeing Rodgers' last play as a pick to go off the field. And I realize there are a lot of Green Bay Packers fans out there. There are a lot of Aaron Rodgers people who see him in the commercials and love seeing him on the McAfee podcast. But I got to be straight with you. With as weird as he is and as two-faced and I took the vaccine and it isn't the COVID vaccine crap and just being a general $50 million a year weirdo, like, good for you to beat his ass, Lions. Like, that made me super happy. So I was super happy about that, and maybe he'll be your problem in Nashville. But it was a fun weekend of football. There's a bunch of stuff here.
Yeah, I mean, like, as far as, like, some of the outcomes from yesterday, like, the Bengals avoided the coin toss scenario with the Ravens, so that they don't have to worry about that.
That's a good thing because they've already sort of publicly been – pissed off about that.
Yeah, and so the Ravens will play in Cincinnati for that game. And then I think, you know, the big surprises, I guess, are Seattle and Miami both getting in the playoffs. So Patriots get eliminated with that Bills loss. Steelers were eliminated, although Mike Tomlin has another winning season. So that was interesting.
That's amazing.
You know, the other one, I think, as far as like a team that a lot of people care about locally, is the Cowboys just looked really ugly in their loss, and they played all their guys.
Yeah, the Cowboys were a hot topic today with Jason and John on 92.9. And for the fifth time since the 1970 merger, every game in the opening round is a rematch from the regular season, including the one you just mentioned, the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. The Bucs are the four. The Cowboys are on the road, which I don't think is an...
Monday Night Football.
It is, which is a perfect pairing.
Cool.
Yeah, so you get that Monday night game, Bucs and Cowboys, and it's been the most divisive matchup that we've talked about today. I gotta say, and I love, love, love Dak Prescott. I loved him at Mississippi State. I think he's a good-looking, marketable dude. Like, I was ready for Romo to go and slide him in there. He was a later pick who proved the haters wrong and then got paid. I love Dak Prescott. I love the receivers even more now. They're good. They're real good. And they have weapons. The two running backs, the defense, all that said. Dak Prescott may not be playable sometimes when I watch him play football, though. And he proved it with that pick six later yesterday. I mean, it was inexcusable.
Yeah, he looks bad yesterday. I mean, here's the thing, though, is, And also a little nugget, the Cowboys are actually 0-7 versus Tom Brady. So that's kind of an interesting
I'm telling
thing.
You, like, yeah, they're going to lose that game. I think they're going to lose that game.
I don't. I heard Jason and John and you talking about this earlier. I got to agree with John. Like, the Bucs are bad.
It's just Tom Brady and a bunch of dudes is what you're saying.
The Bucs are really bad. And the Cowboys might be disappointing. The Bucs are a bad football team. Like, that division, every team in that division is bad. You know, no one finished above 500, like, in the NFC South. So
They lost to the Falcons.
I just don't know. I feel like that could be a super ugly game, yeah. Cowboys Bucks. But I feel like that Cowboys defense just rises to the occasion and that they win an ugly game. There's just too much. The talent on the Cowboys is just
it's stupid.
It's glaring. Like, it's way bigger than the Bucks.
Jason brought up the McCarthy factor too. He might be one of the worst coaches in the league when it comes to tactics, including time management. Now,
that's fair. I mean, the Bucs don't have Bruce Arians, who they won their Super Bowl with, so I think that's worth throwing out there too. I don't know, man. I think that the Bucs are not a good football team. I think the Cowboys might be disappointing. I just think they're a better all-around team.
So. All right, so to recap this, Saturday, Seahawks at Niners. That's the early game. Then you have the Chargers-Jags. That's your Saturday watch. Sunday, you get Dolphins at Bills. That's the early watch. Giants-Vikings. That's the mid-afternoon watch on Sunday. And then... this is a good one. Ravens Bengals. That feels good.
If Lamar Jackson plays. If he doesn't play, I mean, he hasn't played for weeks. He's got the knee injury. It'd be his first game back in 6 weeks, I believe. And so I don't know. I mean, it's a divisional game. That's a rivalry. Like, that's on paper a fun game.
But you look at those teams and you just think they're good if Lamar's healthy.
If he doesn't play, then that game is terrible. The other one, I mean, I think Giants-Vikings is a lot of fun. That one's going to be interesting. Dolphins-Bills, no Tua. Teddy Bridgewater's hurt, too, for the Dolphins. Yep. So, like, I don't care about that one. Bills are going to kill them. You know, Chargers-Jaguars is interesting. I think the Jags really got a chance to win that game and advance in the playoffs at home. So, yeah, I mean, some of the games like Seahawks 49ers, I'm good. 49ers going to handle them. But, yeah, there's a couple good ones in here. And I do think that Cowboys-Buccaneers one's interesting on Monday night.
Yep, the wrap will be on 790 because we have the MLK game on 92.9 next Monday. Yep. So you'll get Cowboys at Bucks. It looks like 715 ABC ESPN.
Story number 3.
This is just the quick NFL sideline story because the day after the regular season ends, you get the firings. So the prominent one now for you is your offensive coordinator for the Titans. But I think most of the league will focus on the ones that we had on Jason and John earlier, the news about Lovie Smith getting fired by the Texans. And then Cliff Kingsbury is out in Arizona. I want to focus. We talked a lot about Lovie, and I think the main headline there is that he screwed him out of the number one pick by winning that game yesterday. And good for Lovie Smith, you know, like, go get it. You know, so the Bears will have the first pick in the NFL draft.
Yeah, the Texans are such a trash franchise. Like, that is just a joke. Yeah. I mean, I don't understand why you even, like, let coaches finish out the season and even think they have a chance to come back if you're going to just run your organization like that. Like, he was set up to fail. That roster is terrible. Like, they are, that is the worst roster in the NFL. They have no talent on offense. I mean, they got Damian Pierce, the rookie running back who had a nice season and got hurt. Like, they just, that team is abysmal. And so the fact that, you know, Lovie Smith, he's been to a Super Bowl. The guy's had a nice career, and the fact that you just set him up like that and then fire him, like, the day after he wins the final game of the season, that's lame. Yep. That is such a lame, trash organization. F the Houston Texans. for life. And the Cliff Kingsbury one, like, that, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. He's definitely under-delivered there. I would love for the Titans to make a phone call if you want to come. I know we just fired our offensive coordinator. Let's give Cliff a call, see if he wants to come hop on board. But I think that he's probably either going to, you like you said when we talked earlier, he's probably either going to go back to college coach or be the offensive coordinator for, like, the Patriots.
Let's go back to Cliff Kingsbury because we forget something. You might recall he was USC's offensive coordinator, okay? Like, that was the job he was going to roll into. And then he'd been fired at Texas Tech, and then he becomes the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. It was the most bizarre hire to me at the time. Now, given the quarterback is Murray, it did make sense because you have an up-tempo thing and they're trying to do the, you know, the quick offense with the fast quarterback. But that has not worked out, and I really am worried about what they do in Arizona, because if that's his run has not been, and now he has a big contract.
I'd be worried if I was Kyler Murray.
Oh, 100% I would be.
Because that thing has rebuild written all over it.
It really does.
Yeah, and that thing's got rebuild written all over it. And you saw, like, the moment before Kyler Murray got hurt, like, you saw the moments with him and DeAndre Hopkins on the sideline this season.
It was divisive. It.
Yeah, the thing about he had to study so many hours because he plays too many video
games. Oh, yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that was
like,
good.
Bad vibes all around with the Cardinals. That one's got rebuild all over it.
So we'll see. The next level will be if Kingsbury, I can't even say his last name because of the KKs,